I am so grateful that you have joined us today to celebrate a love and a hope that can never be contaminated by a virus and can never be limited by social distancing. This hope is not based on us all gathering in church buildings around the world. This hope is based on a loving God, a great sacrifice, a bloody cross, and an empty tomb. This resurrection event that we are celebrating together this morning, it changed yesterday, it changes today, and it changes forever into the future. I'd like for you to think with me just for a moment about this resurrection. Christ walking out of a tomb, leaving it empty. But before Christ could walk out of the tomb, he had to walk to the place of the crucifixion. And before he walked to the cross, he had to step from heaven into human history. We celebrate his birth every Christmas. It's an awesome, amazing event to celebrate. And Jesus said that he came, he entered human history, so that he could seek and save those of us who are lost. In another statement written down by the disciple John, Jesus said he didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him could actually be saved. Jesus came to earth to restore a relationship that was broken between us and God. Our sin, our disobedience, our selfishness had broken the relationship that God intended for humanity to have with him. Jesus comes to restore the relationship. Satan had done his very best to destroy any opportunity for reconciliation. In fact, Satan's desire was for us to live meaningless lives, completely void of any hope or joy or purpose, just sort of existing from day to day. But Jesus comes, and he lives and then dies on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin and for yours, and then he rises from the grave, and he opens up the door to us having that relationship with our God restored. And that empty tomb, it means that you and I can live life as God desires it to be lived. We can live with meaning, we can live with purpose, we can live with real hope right here today in the middle of our circumstances, for good and bad circumstances. The disciples and followers of Jesus certainly knew what it was like to live in difficult circumstances. And we have shared earlier in our time together today two different accounts of the resurrection morning events. But to truly appreciate the resurrection morning events, we have to remember that the followers of Jesus had experienced two of the most gut-wrenching, despair-filled days anyone has ever lived through on this planet. Friday and Saturday were absolutely horrific days for the followers of Jesus. They had witnessed him being crucified. They had witnessed him dying on the cross. They'd heard him say, "It is finished." And they had seen professional executioners, Roman soldiers, confirm that he was dead. And they go on Sunday morning to the tomb. Mary goes and she discovers the tomb's empty. She runs and finds Peter and John. They run to the tomb. They see angels, but they're still not quite sure how to process all of this event that has happened, all of the information they've got. They know that Jesus said something about rising again, but they have no idea how to process the information because nothing like this has ever happened before. And I'd love for you to think with me about Jesus' encounter with Mary. So Peter and John have already left, and Mary, it says in Scripture, is standing outside the tomb, John chapter 20, verse 11, crying. She's standing outside the tomb crying. She is heartbroken. And she encounters angels who are in the tomb, and they ask her why she's crying. She says she's seeking the Lord and wondering where his body is. And then as she still is distraught in despair, Jesus is standing off to the side. She doesn't recognize him at first, and he asks her, two very simple questions. He says, "Dear woman, why are you crying?" And then he asks her, "Who are you looking for?" Think about that. Who are you looking for? I think that question Jesus asked Mary transcends human history and confronts every single one of us. That's a question that is appropriate for every point in history, for every geographical location. It's appropriate for every generation, for every ethnicity, no matter what language you speak or what your personality type. We all are confronted with the question, who are you looking for? Now, I think in our world today, we often change the question just a bit and we replace the who with what. We talk about what we are looking for. And in answer to that question, so often people will say things like, "I'm looking for a job. I'm looking for meaningful work. I'm looking for some money. I need finances to be able to sustain myself and my family." Or someone might say, "Well, I'm looking for someone to make me happy or someone to love." But when you cut through all of those answers, you discover that the things we are looking for are the very same things Mary was looking for. Mary ultimately was looking for Jesus, but she could have said, "Well, I'm looking for answers. I'm looking for answers." She asked the angels and she asked Jesus before she knew who he was, tell me where you've taken his body. I need to know where the body is." She's looking for answers. She demands to know where they have taken Jesus. Every single one of us are looking for answers to life's greatest questions. And they may look different at different seasons of life, but I think most of our questions can be reduced down to questions about our origin. Why are we here? How did we get here? What was the beginning of life? Who put us here? We have questions about meaning. Why are we here? What's the point of life? We have questions about morality. What is right? What is wrong? What's truth? What's not? And we have questions about our destiny. What is beyond this life? We all have those questions, and I would suggest to you today that the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus provide a foundation upon which we can begin to find answers to those great questions. We are reminded by the disciple John, who's recording the events of the resurrection that we're referencing today. When he talks about Jesus coming, he says, "Jesus came full of grace and truth." Jesus declared in his ministry that he was the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus says, "You can base the answers to life's greatest questions on me, because I am the living example, living embodiment of truth." Jesus came so that we could know how to live on this planet, so we could have hope for forever. And Jesus gives us answers. Answers that are not designed to help us escape from reality. Answers that are not designed so we can redefine reality. But Jesus asks us, his followers, to experience his grace and his truth. And in that, we can know true reality. And we can learn how to live life, navigate through the reality of life with hope and with purpose. Mary was looking for answers, and Jesus offered her grace and truth. He offers us the same thing. We could say that Mary was looking for peace. Mary had inner turmoil that is hard for us to imagine. She's weeping outside the tomb because the one whom she trusted, the one who she had followed for 3 years, she has witnessed dying on a cross, and now even his dead body she cannot find. She is distraught, broken-hearted. There are times in all of our lives where we relate to Mary. We find ourselves distraught, broken-hearted, not understanding how we could experience any kind of peace in our lives. We want peace. We want it, but the chaos of life has just created so much conflict inside of us that we think peace is an illusion that we would never be able to find in this real world. We are living in tough times right now, and they often rob us of peace. One of the writers who I read this week said, when she goes through hard times, she is prone to cynicism and bitterness, and many of us can relate. Even in best of times, we discover that life can be filled up with hurts that haunt us, and hang-ups that cause us pain, and habits that mess up our lives. So good times and bad times can be a challenge for peace deep inside of our soul. And this is nothing new. This is not a new issue. Since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, humanity has been needing healing and forgiveness and help. And throughout the centuries, God gave people the opportunity to acknowledge their sinfulness, to acknowledge their need for Him. That's what all of the Old Testament sacrifices are about. But all of those sacrifices were imperfect. The perfect sacrifice is Jesus. And He comes to go to the cross for us. And the Apostle Paul said that He forgives all of our sin. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Christ offers us forgiveness, which allows us to experience reconciliation with God. Sins forgiven. That sin that separates us from God is forgiven. And we can experience peace deep in our soul, knowing we're in right relationship with God. And as we receive forgiveness, we're able to extend forgiveness. Think about this. The very same power that raised Christ from the dead, we are told, is at work in our lives. And so even the most challenging, painful, difficult experiences we have had with others, the power of Christ can help us to extend forgiveness. Peace with Christ, relationship with Him, enables you and I the opportunity and possibility of living at peace with others. And forgiveness doesn't mean that we ignore issues. It doesn't mean that we stuff emotions. It doesn't mean that we allow somebody to continue to hurt us and cause us pain. It means that we are no longer going to carry the baggage of that pain and hurt. It means that we are no longer going to allow feelings of anger and retribution and hatred to control us. We're going to set it down, and with Christ's power and help, we are going to move forward into the life He's called us to live. Mary was looking for answers. She was looking for peace, and she was looking for hope. We are looking for hope in our world. I think Mary must have felt like hope died when she watched Jesus be crucified. And maybe you can relate. Maybe in this situation that we are living in our world today, you feel like hope has died. Maybe you have felt at other times in your life like you bet the farm on the wrong team, or you hitched your wagon to the wrong train, or put your eggs in the wrong basket. Maybe you finally decided to trust someone and they let you down. We've all been in moments where we feel like hope has died. A few years ago, someone who had experienced a real tragedy in life asked me a very simple yet life-changing question. They just said, "Wes, is there any hope?" That question is being asked by millions of people in millions of different ways around our world. It's being asked by individuals who are sitting in doctor's offices waiting for test results. It's being asked by couples who have put months and months into marriage counseling and seem to have made no progress. That question, is there hope, is asked by people who are struggling with financial issues and wondering if they can pay their bills. It's asked by a family member who has a wayward child, and it doesn't seem like anything can reach that child's heart. Is there hope? Mary wondered if there was still hope. Sometimes you and I wonder if there's still hope, and I want to suggest to you today that we have in Jesus, because of the crucifixion and resurrection, a living hope. The writer Peter, disciple of Jesus, he wrote to Christians living in the ancient city of Rome. He said, "We have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Jesus' resurrection allows us to experience hope even in the face of life's greatest challenges, even as we face the moment of death. In Christ, there is a living hope. This hope is not in some dead, ancient, impotent creed that promises if we fulfill it exactly to the letter of the law that there will be happiness. No, it's not that kind of hope. This hope is a living hope, a hope that is with us every single moment, every single day, every step of the journey on this planet. And Mary discovers that what she's looking for, answers and peace and hope, can actually be found in the person of Jesus Christ. Mary discovered that when she began to understand who Jesus is, that's what she needed most, that all of her other seeking was answered, the questions were answered. I'm grateful that when we think about the living hope we have in Jesus, that we are told this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. This hope will not fade away. This hope won't go away. This is a hope that we can depend on and trust in. This hope, it meets us at every moment. It reminds us that even in situations where it may seem like there is no hope, that we really do have hope in Christ. And today, I think we find ourselves in a similar situation to Mary. We're looking, we're seeking, and what we are looking for can only be experienced when we really find Jesus. Mary was asked by Jesus this compelling question: "Who are you looking for?" And at first, she didn't recognize Jesus as the questioner. But then Jesus just calls her by name. He says, "Mary." And she immediately recognizes him in Scripture. We are told that she immediately calls out to him, "Teacher." She knows who Jesus is, and she knows then that she can have hope and she can have peace, and she has the answer to where Jesus is. He is alive right before her. And I believe that as Jesus asks us the question today, "Who are you looking for?" we may find ourselves uncertain about what we need or who we need. But when Jesus calls us by name, we discover that in Him is everything we have been seeking. If you today are looking for answers, Jesus offers you grace and truth. If you are looking for peace, peace with God or peace with each other, Jesus offers a relationship with Him that brings ultimate peace to the depths of your soul and brings the possibility of peace with others into your life through the power of Christ. And if you are looking for hope, Jesus stands before us as the living hope who wants to walk with us every step of this journey and give us the hope of eternity with Him. What are you looking for? I believe you'll find it in Jesus. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the opportunity to celebrate the resurrection, to celebrate this amazing hope that we have today. It is hope that meets us in the middle of a virus. It's a hope that cannot be limited by social distancing. It's a hope that cannot be quarantined. It reaches out to us today, and it invites us to experience peace and joy and hope in Jesus. I pray that you would help us to open our hearts in perhaps a way we never have before, to actually accept the crucifixion of Jesus and his death on the cross as paying the penalty for our sin. To recognize that not only did he die, but he rose again, and that his resurrection offers us hope for today and for tomorrow and for forever. I pray that you would help us to open our hearts and find in our Savior grace and truth and peace and a living hope this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.